This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Thanks, Eric, for taking the time today to come on the show. Really appreciate it.
You're most welcome.
Eric, why don't we start off, let's start off with your name and your company and a bit about your background.
So my name is Eric Altwal, and that's actually a Dutch last name. I immigrated from the Netherlands in 1991. I happened to marry a Canadian who took me to Canada. So that's how I landed here, basically. And then I started to Project Pro in 1993. Incorporated it in 1996, and so basically have been running it ever since, even now.
Well, congratulations, since 1996, that's a long time. What does the company do?
Basically, we do what I've been doing mostly is training in people how to create a proper project schedule and consulting at times. But mostly training, and I did those trainings based upon my textbooks, dynamic scheduling and forecast scheduling. So that's what I've been doing predominantly. We also do certification of project schedules, actually.
And what kind of organizations would you be training? Are we talking about government organizations, private sector? Kind of run us through that a bit.
Well, you know, here's the neat thing about project management. It's everywhere. I could even state with confidence that there is no organization without projects. And you know, in a project, you basically, every time you create a new unique thing in kind of like a temporary organization, that's called the project team. And so it always moves the envelope, moves the frontiers, and is create something that is unique and new, essentially. So it's been a great business to be in, actually, because you're always moving the needle, basically, and getting involved with what the society is worried about at that time. For example, in 2020, well, in 2019 already, I got involved with pharmaceutical industry. And then COVID hit, of course, in 2020. And I suddenly found myself in creating these clinical trial project schedules, you know, which was insanely interesting because I knew also what to look for, you know, when new medicines were announced. If they didn't reach phase three in a clinical trial, I knew that really there was nothing there yet, and stuff like that. So it's always so I've gone from mostly IT in the past to banking to government here in Ottawa to pharmaceutical, eventually I also got involved with portfolio management.
And is it planned out that way for you, Eric, or do you go where the market kind of needs you to go?
I really go where the market goes. I found what worked for me is putting my textbooks out there and then people calling me up. And that's really the only marketing I did, which is quite astonishing, actually. But of course, it takes, you know, some editions of the textbook really took months, if not 6 months, to put them together. So.
And prior to starting this, what were you doing? Were you working in this field and you decided to go out on your own?
Man, I was selling earrings right in front of Rideau Center in the street.
I wasn't going to make that connection. Wow.
No, nobody does, actually. And only very few people connect the two Erics. No, I came from the Netherlands. And in the Netherlands, I did two studies. I grew up on a food farm, so I went to horticultural college. And then I realized I'd rather work with people actually than with plants. So I went to business. I did a master of science in business. And then I got into teaching people communication and management skills in the Netherlands through a consulting firm. But when I came here, I couldn't do that because I was in a second language.
Mm-hmm.
For that type of training, you really need to know all the cultural references, which I didn't. You know, all the history of the country, which I didn't. And so, and you need to know the finite details of the language, of course, which I didn't. So I had to look for something else. And I started to do computer skill training that then eventually led me to specialize in project management, computer application training. So that's...
Wow. Interesting. So did you always have an entrepreneurial kind of side to you? Did it come naturally to you to have your own business?
Yeah, in a sense it did, yes. My father was a fruit grower, so he was an entrepreneur. And even when I was young, I actually, as it so happens, they had planned a touristical route, the Blossom Route, as it was called, I translated from Dutch, right next to our farm. And so in the weekends, in the Blossom time, these reams of cars would pass by our farm. And it's a huge opportunity for somebody who has an eye for it, of course. And I did. So I started selling little bunches of blossom branches. And later on, also little bags of apples. And I made, you know, as a 10, 12-year-old, made pretty good money with just that, doing that. So that's where I indeed also started young as an entrepreneur. And then when my wife, my Canadian wife, told me, who had gone to Canada already, that she really liked the artistic earrings. That's when I decided to buy, with all the money that I had, artistic earrings to go and sell and have something to do when I arrived in Canada. So that was also a second point in my life where the entrepreneurial skills, I guess, came out.
And you know, your company is basically selling, is it primarily selling online courses? Do you do any training, in-person training or remote training of teams?
I've been doing a lot of group training, team training, on-site training at companies, basically all over the world, but predominantly here in Canada and in the United States. Then when 9/11 happened, I suddenly found myself from being 100% employed to being 0% employed because there was no travel anymore.
Right.
And I had to learn to teach my same courses online very rapidly. So with my wife in the bedroom and me in the basement sitting at a computer, I was trying to learn that skill. And with her as the only student. And that started to get going again. And from then on, we basically started to still go on site to clients once the travel started again, which happened 3-4 months later. But we started to get a taste of online training. So we continued online training as well at that time. And I've been doing basic online training since 9/11, essentially.
And how different was the technology back then? Were you able to do video conferencing like we do now?
Yeah, yes. At that time, I was using a tool, Centra. I'm not even sure if it's there anymore. And WebEx soon came available as well. And now it's Teams and Zoom, right? So there have always been platforms around. They were, of course, horribly expensive at first, but now they are very, very affordable, and everybody could do that. Essentially, you know what it is: the narrower you specialize, the wider you need to go in geographic terms. So that's what I did. I very narrowly focused on Microsoft project scheduling training with Microsoft Project. So very, quite narrow. But as a result of that, of course, I had to be willing to travel anywhere in the world.
And And is there a difference between the absorption of your information, whether it's in person or online? Is it better absorbed in person, or have you found there's really no difference? If you got the right engaged people, they're engaged no matter what the format.
That's a great question, I'd say. Well, first of all, people who want to learn a computer application, they have the Zoom and the Teams skills already, right? So I never needed to worry about that. But then basically your question is online training as effective as in-person on-site training? And I must say in-person on-site training tends to be more effective. But it's not impossible to achieve good results with online training, as long as organizations measure what comes out of the training. I've actually converted through online training medium-sized organizations entirely because we actually did certification as well, and people were really challenged to meet those standards of the certification. And as long as organizations do that and management says it's important and wants it, then it happens. And you can see then the same level of results with online training as you can see with on-site training. But it's a great question. A lot of people are still wondering about that and still discussing this back and forth. But that's my experience of what I just shared.
And Eric, when you go in to train an organization, some people may already have software tools that they're using to help them with the project management. Do you go in there and evaluate those tools? Is that part of your training, or you accept those tools and you train based on those tools?
Back in the 90s, there were these huge battles raging between, at that time, OnTarget, Timeline, I've been dating myself, and Primavera and Mike's project. And then there was a Super Project as well there. We've lost three of those tools. Super Project, Timeline, OnTarget, gone. So eventually, it only became Primavera that was fighting with Microsoft Project. And even though I know a fair bit about Primavera, I've seen enough demonstrations of it on at conferences. I've never trained people on Primavera, so I only dealt with people when they were actually using Microsoft Project, which are only 30 million people worldwide. So,
It's a good size audience for you. And
yeah.
what changes have you seen? How has technology affected your business?
Technology has affected my business in a huge way because Microsoft decided in 2018 and made the announcement, I'd say, that they were going to replace Microsoft Project with a new tool. Eventually, it was going to be marketed as Project for the web. And that tool has recently been killed and integrated with another tool Microsoft has, a Planner. But you can imagine what happened that when Microsoft announced that they were going to replace and eventually get rid of Microsoft Project, the training out of fell away basically from one day to the next for Microsoft Project. But here's the neat thing. Microsoft screwed up and Microsoft Project is still around. People still like it a lot. People will continue to use it. Microsoft doesn't have the guts to kill it. And perhaps it will never die. And the other tools are just not generating the demand and the usage that Microsoft Project is still enjoying. Or they are much lower level tools meant to manage individual work lists rather than plan something for which you really need a whole team and coordinate every individual in the team to work well together. That's a project, right? So there's a lot of confusion about that. That Planner is a project management tool. It's not a project management tool. It's a to-do list tool. So.
And Eric, for our listeners that maybe that are listening to this and thinking, geez, maybe I could use some of this training myself. Is there kind of a minimum size organization that you can have the most impact on? I assume we're talking mostly medium-sized business, medium and enterprise businesses, or do you work with small businesses as well?
I work with any size business. So size is not a consideration at all. You know, I've trained 400 project managers at ESCC, the the Employment Services Development Canada, and you know, hundreds of project managers at BMO, for example. So those are the large organizations I've worked with. But the example that I just referred to, where I've been very successful through online training and certification to really convert an organization, to bring an organization really to the next level, there was a small to medium-sized organization.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's anybody who wants and needs it. And sometimes I do one-on-one training, you know, when people need it tonight or to next month.
Okay. So you've been an entrepreneur now. You mentioned you started in 93, incorporated in 96. So that's a long time. So if you can share with our listeners, assume a listener that's listening to this today is has a business and they may be struggling with that business. I'm sure you've had some struggles. You mentioned, you know, 9/11, you went from 100 to zero. So what advice would you give to someone that's listening that could be struggling a little bit right now?
I've had that twice, actually, that, you know, my business went from 100 to zero in the case of 9/11. But in the 90s, in mid-90s, it went from I lost 70% of my revenue from one day to the next. So shit happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brace yourself for it. And so here my first recommendation is when you're going to do something like me, you know, kind of like consulting and training, make sure that you have 6 months of salary in the bank. Because, you know, what happened to me twice, and even the third time, you know, when Microsoft announced in 2018, we're going to replace Microsoft Project, it's going to happen to you as well. The first time it happened was because an organization, a training organization I was involved with, I was developing their whole project management curriculum, and they decided from one day to the next that they were going to hire a big American firm and use their curriculum. So I was not really needed any longer, which was 70% of my revenue. So shit like that just happens all the time. So it happens, well, if you look at an average in my professional life, once every 10 years or so. So brace yourself and prepare yourself and keep at all times 6 months of salary in the bank. It also allows you to not be ground down by the market. You know, people, you know, personal services, people like myself, they get challenged by clients constantly. Hey, Eric, can't you work for $300 a day? Can't you work for $150 a day? Can't you work for $100 a day? And if you have 6 months of salary in the bank, you can say, no, I'm not going to work for that, right? I know I am worth more. I used to say to my wife, who was acting now my ex-wife, you know, I'd rather do nothing than work below my market rate. And but of course, you need to have the confidence to be able to say that. And that's why you need 6 months of salary in the bank. Another thing is keeping your overhead expenses very low. You know, I never had a need to hire an office anywhere. That would have increased my overhead by thousands of dollars a month. I never had a need to drive a big car. No client would ever see the car anyways. So I've always driven secondhand cars while I was making a really good living, actually.
In the beginning, though, Eric, I know, you know, when I started extension marketing 11 years ago now, that initially you take what you can get, right? Because you got to get some momentum going. But yeah. I find too many entrepreneurs, they have that mentality still 10 years later. They'll take whatever comes their way. And I agree with you. At some point, you have to put a line in the sand and say, I'm worth X. And anything less than that, it's not a good use of my time. But in order to do that, like you said, you need to have some cash reserves tucked away so you can ride out those storms.
Right. Well, of course, when you're hungry, yeah, you can always accept a lower rate, right? But of course, it gets known that you've been accepting a much lower rate. And now other people will chime in to that as well, right? So it's a little bit self-defeating. You have to be very careful what you're doing there. And I think it all comes down also to know what your strength is and know what that strength is valued at in the marketplace and stick to it. Don't give it up. When I hear that some people just want to start a business just for the sake of being able to say that they started a business, I don't think that's good enough. You'll be very busy creating something that nobody is looking for, potentially. And that's very, very dangerous. I started business after I had come across this great idea, which was the idea of dynamic scheduling. If one thing changes in a project, you should ideally have to update and change one cell in your project schedule, and then the whole scheduling engine should recalculate the whole schedule and forecast your project properly again. And you know what? With that single thought, I have earned a good living for 30 years. Because then I went to Microsoft Project and asked myself, okay, which features in Microsoft Project support this notion, and which features in Microsoft Project wreck this whole principle of dynamic scheduling? And that's basically what I've been training. That's basically what I've been capturing in my course manuals and in my books and training thousands, tens of thousands of project managers across the world. And so, wait until you get a really bright idea. And if you don't get such a bright idea, then go abroad and steal a really bright idea from abroad and bring it back home to Canada. But don't start a business just because you desperately want to start a business.
You've more or less answered my second question I was going to ask, which is, what advice would you give to someone that's thinking of starting a business? So, but I think you kind of covered that. But is there anything you wanted to add to that question?
I think we covered it pretty well with that. I would say, particularly when you start out a business, you're going to have slow times. And what I've seen a lot of people do is they get into agony and despair and they talk to themselves into a puddle of tears and become very passive and don't get out and do the right thing anymore. What you should be doing in that times is marketing, marketing, marketing. Even if it is cold calls, go to networking events. But the second thing is do professional development. Increase your game, improve your game. Don't sit still, do something. Don't start despairing, Leslie. It'll come back. As long as you have a few dollars in the bank, it'll come back. that's been my game, Leslie.
That's great advice. Eric, before we let you go, where can our listeners find out more about your company?
projectprocorp.com. The website, everything we do and all the products and courses and certifications on that website. My books are there as well. Or telephone number 613-852-6525.
Great. Thanks, Eric, for your time today. Really appreciate it.
No problem. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.